the Ulysses, man's greatest achievement. A ship capable of traveling to distant galaxies. But a freak accident leaves the ship helpless. Its AI, damaged, dangerous, plays a deadly game with the two surviving members of the crew. If they indulge the machine's newfound passion for science fiction and fantasy trivia, it will permit limited access to the astrogation matrix in Star Drive. For astronauts Clive Ashenden and Rob Wickens, the choice is clear. If they ever want to see Earth again, they must define the A to Z of SFF.
I is for Avengers, the TV series. Continue.
Yes, the Avengers.
So this is the ITV British TV series that ran 1961 to 1969. Largely starring Patrick Minney and a revolving cast of fellow teammates.
Indeed. Mostly female, apart from the early days.
This is a spy show, but with a very sort of fantastical and sci-fi twist, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and it gets more so as time goes on. Whereas the early version of it, the where Patrick McNee was partnered with Ian Hendry, was almost a sort of dark and gritty sort of spy drama in the sort of Ipcress file kind of style. As time went on, it became much more sort of, I kind of hesitate even to call it Bondish. It sort of veers close to the sort of
inline stuff. Yeah.
It goes way
beyond Bond in terms of the sort of gadgets and bringing in the sci-fi elements. You know, things like as fantastical as certain Bond films had been at that time, certainly in the 60s, you didn't get things like cyborg assassins or miniaturization machines.
No, absolutely. So it's got this really kind of odd feel to it, to the point where you're never quite sure what the next episode is going to give you. Is it going to be a science fictional conceit? Yes, most likely. But at the same time, there's an interesting dynamic going on between the two main characters.
Yeah, and I think that's true whichever kind of era we're looking at here. And it does sort of break down into these different eras. You know, in that first series where it's pretty much the Ian Hendry show, and John Steed is his partner. But as that sort of series goes on, and it's clear that John Steed is the sort of breakout character of that season, you've got Dr. David Keel, the lead character, played by Ian Hendry, John Steed, played by Patrick McNee, who's this, debonair, cool, professional, with his trademark umbrella and bowler hat, who's basically the English gentleman who can kick ass.
Absolutely. So it's kind of Bond with a bit more of a sense of polish, whereas Bond was always sort of seen as the English gentleman. There's slightly more polish and flair to John Steed, I always think.
Another differentiator from Bond, and you've got to bear in mind, this is before Bond, when we're starting here. It's 1961, so it's before the films. So you could argue that the Avengers is an influence on the creation of the sort of tone of the Bond series. So, but one of the things, though, you get in the TV series is that although there is violence in every single episode.
Of course.
There's never any blood.
No. Well, this is still TV of the 1960s, the early 1960s. So blood is very much a no-no here. You know, it was screened pretty much in prime time. So you just couldn't get away with it way back in the 1960s. Certainly don't get the revolting gore fests that you get in the 3D shows that we enjoy these days.
True. But, Even if you compare it with something that sort of a on a, on a, about the same time, which would be Danger Man, the Patrick McGoohan spy series. That was much sort of darker, grittier, and, you know, you would expect to sort of see someone have a bloody nose if they got punched in the face. Whereas this is much more kind of, I guess, comic book in a way.
Yeah, I mean, cartoony was the word that kind of sprang to my mind back at that point. But yeah, I guess so. There's certainly a lighter touch to the Avengers, which in some ways is why it's remained so popular, I think.
Yes, and I think one of the other reasons is, hey, let's just say it's sex.
Oh, God, absolutely. Then where do we start with the whole sex thing?
Well, let's start, shall we, with the sort of 1962 to 64 era. We get several different sort of assistants pop in for Patrick McNee's John Steed, but the one that really makes some impact here is Honor Blackman as Dr. Kathy Gale, anthropologist with judo skills and a liking for leather clothing.
Well, and that's certainly one thing to note as we go through the Avengers. The whole notion of leather clothing becomes increasingly important as we go through.
It does, to the point where we actually get a novelty hit single from Dinah Rigg and John Steed, Kinky Boots, comes out in the 60s.
Wasn't that on the Blackman that did Kinky Boots?
Oh, no, I beg your pardon, it was on a Blackman, wasn't it? So, yeah. So that it obviously made an impression, the fact that we get those two recording that.
No, absolutely. I mean, let's sort of touch on fetish, if you like. Not just from the on a Blackman Diana Rigg characters. It's kind of interesting to note that John Steed is very much always in the same get-up. So, it could be viewed, you could view that as a kind of uniform as well, and with all the connotations that has to it.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that makes the show sexy is that, partly due to the limitations of the era, then everything is kind of implied, and it's up to the audience to sort of take what they want. So between Steed and his female colleagues, there's always this sort of frisson of flirting, isn't there, and sort of and sort of witty interplay and banter, and there are always these moments where we just we'll come in on them on a scene and they're having a cup of tea, and the question is, well, what happened before we came in? Or we'll just cut away just as they're sharing an intimate glass of champagne, celebrating their victory over the latest evil megalomaniac. And then, well, what happens then?
Well, exactly.
And, you know, at least initially his assistants are all married women, but then until we get to Linda Thorson as Tara King, who clearly carries a torch for him. And it's interesting that's in the sort of the final era, you know, late 60s, times have changed a bit. Interesting, to say the least.
I mean, you've got that dynamic that goes all the way through the experienced older man and the slightly less experienced, but, you know, always enthusiastic and interesting to try new things female associate. You know,
it's this, the professional and the amateur assistants. Albeit Tara King isn't an amateur, but certainly up till then it always seems to sort of favour partnering up with sort of amateur experts
in whatever field.
Let's tip the hat, shall we, to some of the various creators behind this. He doesn't take a sort of creator by credit, but again, it's that man Sidney Newman who goes on to be behind the creation of Doctor Who as well, is there at the beginning, certainly. But then perhaps the sort of person who deserves the most credit is the sort of mastermind behind the series, because he wrote over 30 episodes, and, you know, he progresses up the ranks of producing until you know, the whole kind of second half of the Avengers run and into the new Avengers as well, Brian Clemens, writer, producer, and you can't, and he's just one of those British sci-fi fantasy creators who just does not get enough of his kind of the sort of vision he has, you know, and it's really down to him, I think, just the sort of how unique the tone of the Avengers is, and it's really difficult to get across without you sitting down and watch it. The kind of the very British eccentricity of it, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, there's weird kind of things like that whole notion of England not really having that many people in it, which I guess is down to the budget, and, you know, not really having crowd scenes or anything like that. But
well, it's almost like its own hermetically sealed world, and I think you need that when you're bringing in these elements of sort of surreal fancy, because it does seem like most of the people in this world are upper class. Yes. You know, the men are all stylish and charming, even the evil ones.
Especially the evil ones.
And the women are beautiful and charming and often deadly. Mm. And it's a very sort of it feels very, very British in the same way that psychedelic music coming out of Britain feels very identifiably British, as opposed to, say, the West Coast psychedelia. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of whilst it may have moments of darkness, there's always a sort of kind of let's all have a jolly cup of tea quality to it as well.
Yeah, and there's also that element of folklore and that sort of weird folk thing that sort of sneaks in as well. You've got that probably the most memorable episode is the Hellfire Club one, which of course is a well-known kind of English.
You're going back to the fetish again there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guarantee you do any kind of image search on the Avengers TV series, and it doesn't take you very long to get to the classic picture of Diana Rigg in the leather one piece and the spiked collar. It's almost the iconic image of the Avengers.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, there are lots of different eras of Avengers, and we're not even going to get into the new Avengers here. I think that's its own sort of special case.
Absolutely.
But you know, after that initial Ian Hendry era, then we get this sort of. Initially, we get a few different assistants, like Dr. Martin King, who's kind of like a David Keel sort of replacement. Venus Smith, played by Julie Stevens, comes in for 6 episodes, but really that's the sort of Kathy Gale time. Then, 1965, not only do you get Diana Rigg coming in as Mrs. Emma Peel, who's kind of, I guess you could call her Kathy Gale taken to the next level, really, in that she... She's even more capable, even more sort of an ass kicker. But at the same time, she brings a lighter touch to it. So the series at that point starts to play with the humour more than it has done. And for many people, that's the event. That's the Avengers they think of when they first think of the Avengers. And I think it's also partly because that's 1965. The show gets sold to ABC Television. In the States, so the budget really increases, and they go from this very studio-bound multi-camera setup to shooting single-camera 35mm, and suddenly it's like the show really opens up. They can do much more. The directors have got more to play with what they can do. That's really the sort of the high point, you know. And then during that run, color comes in as well. There are some just great episodes from that whole era, and then finally we get the rather underrated Linda Thorson, but really you can't go wrong with any of the Avengers eras. Sadly, some of them are missing from the series one, but
I mean that's pretty typical for any sort of British TV of a particular age. But Yeah, I'd absolutely agree with that. It's just a real English classic. So
yeah, unique, elegant, chic. Go and see it.
Absolutely. What do you say, Cyclomedia? Are you happy with that?
Input satisfactory.
Sweet. I love it when we get things right. Okay, Clive, fire us up. Let's get us out of here.
Okay. Keying it in now and giving you control now.
Got it. 3, 2, 1, and off into the open. Whatever the hell that
means. Off into the open. I just should have a gin and then we're going to start flying.
The A to Z of SFF was written and performed by Rob Wickings and Clive Ashenden. The show was produced and edited by Rob Wickings at All Hallows Post of Reading, the finest sound available anywhere. Would you like to know more? Go to www.theatozofsff.com. Like us on Facebook as The A to Z of SFF, or follow us on Twitter at The A to Z of SFF.